You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
I have no idea.
Yes, it's Wednesday.
I have no idea what day of the week
it
is.
Because you skipped Tuesday.
Yes.
You're in a coma Tuesday.
I slept 17 hours on Tuesday.
That's good. By the way, that's why you feel better.
It definitely helped, but here's the crazy part. When you sleep all day, you have some of the wildest dreams known to me.
Right.
I can't even repeat half the dreams I had yesterday. Couldn't even repeat them. Like, A, they don't make sense. B, they're illegal in 35 states. C, you would think less of me as a human being. It's just crazy. When you're drugged up and sleeping, the thoughts that go through your mind, they don't even make any sense. So what you guys been talking about today, D?
We've been talking a little bit about, well, we were going to talk about your guy, but we're going to wait.
Who's my
your
guy?
Your guy, David Stearns.
Oh, yeah,
on the Mets and his comments speaking on Wednesday.
Yes.
When you left us on Monday and we had a segment, I was going to do my postmortem on the Mets and just what I felt like capped the season for me, for the Mets. But then I forgot that David Stearns had to speak still. So I wanted to hear what he had to say before I capped the season. And God, am I glad I waited because of what he said and what it portends going forward regarding Juan Soto. It's not going to make Met fans happy. But what we started with today while you were dashing your way down here was Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman is so obsessed with 2017 that on the verge of playing the Dodgers in the World Series in 2024, he can't help but reference 2017 and being cheated out of the opportunity to go to the World Series because the Astros cheated. And our take is, why?
I know the why, by the way.
Why?
I know the
why.
Well,
you tell me that.
And it's such a strange why, because I heard him say this. I think it was with a great Christopher Mad Dog Russo. And he brings it up on his own, and he's done this before. And I don't understand it. There are guys in this world, I'm not one of them, I think you are one of them, who've accomplished so much where they don't need to prove anything to anybody. They're past that. Mike Francesa, when he was here, he didn't have to prove anything to anybody. But yet sometimes there were moments where Mike had to say, you know, I make more money than you. And he never needed to do that.
Yeah, why? What's the point?
Because all Mike had to do was smile at you and say, look what I've accomplished. Brian Cashman, despite what people may say on sports talk radio, is a Hall of Fame general manager.
Yes.
Okay? That's a fact.
And by the way, we're not doubting his acumen.
No.
In fact, this season has been amazing, what he put together.
Sure.
And it's been that way for a lot of years.
But he's a Hall of Fame general manager. Everybody knows it. Like, even the guy or gal who calls up this radio station to say, fire Brian Cashman, you know what they usually say? Brian's done a lot of good stuff.
Right.
But it's time to move on. And Brian Cashman, who should have no cares in the world because he knows what he's accomplished. For anybody who says, oh, he inherited a dynasty, they don't realize that Brian Cashman was a part of building that dynasty.
Right.
They don't know that, or they forget that. Brian Cashman should know that. So Brian Cashman should have to prove anything to me, to you, or to anybody listening. And yet, for whatever reason,
he's stuck on it.
There are powerful people in this world who are damn successful, and they've got to explain away their failures. Here's the reality, Brian. Here are the facts. You didn't make a World Series for 15 years. Is that punishable by not going to the Hall of Fame? No. Is that punishable by saying he isn't one of the great general managers of all time? No. So instead of saying, yeah, it's been 15 years, it's a tough business, folks, and we're finally back and I'm proud of it, he has to go back to this, we got cheated in 2017. Did you, though, bro?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't score a run in Houston.
Right.
I want someone to explain to me what that has to do with the cheating Astros.
Nothing. It's what a caller called and said, because we kind of forgot, Sean and I, how many runs they scored.
I think the combined run was
Three in four games. That's
okay.
Exactly right.
So if I know that and Brian knows that, you don't need to fight this anymore. Like, we all know
They're not cheating pitching at you.
Right. So how do you explain that?
You just weren't good enough.
Yes, you didn't hit in Houston.
Now, them cheating helped them beat you? Sure, right? It's because baseball is circumstantial like that. But they also had no run support, zero run support. And so by pointing out one aspect of what the Astros were doing, you're forgetting what you didn't do.
Right.
I think that's why it pisses you off when you hear it over and over and over and over again. It's like it wasn't just them cheating.
Right.
You also were bad.
Well, and also, like, I'm not mad at Brian Cashman for saying this. I don't think any Yankee fan should be mad at it.
I'm mad. It's just, like, what's the point?
I'm kind of sad about it. Like, dude, you're a legend. You're a Hall of Famer, and this is your moment to go back at everybody else who said you should be fired. This is your, you want to spike on their faces? Spike on their faces. If you want to say, oh, yeah, I'm an idiot, right? Oh, yeah, I'm a schmuck, right? Okay. This is your moment to remind everybody to fight 2017 over again. It comes from a small person, and he doesn't need to be a small person. He's a great general manager. So when I heard that, it just reminded me that there are people in this world, I don't know why, because I can promise you, if I was ever as successful as Brian Cashman or Mike Francesa, I would not fight battles from years ago to prove, see, I was really greater than my greatness. Like, you don't need to do that.
Right.
And so, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they win and you just forget it. Just win and forget it.
I don't think for him he's ever going
to
forget it.
No, I think he has to. And this is why Sean said when we started the show, this is why the Yankees have to win. So we can stop hearing about the 2017 Astros and what they meant or did to the Yankees.
But here's the question. If you're a Yankee fan, okay, and I understand hating the Houston Astros, do you really look at 2017 and even 2019, if you want to include that, because I believe they were probably cheating in 2019 too.
I would agree.
Do you?
I think even more so in 2019.
Yeah. I mean, there probably were buzzers involved, even if Rob Manfred doesn't want to prove that's true.
And even if they did know that they were buzzers involved, nothing would have happened.
Right. Of course. They were going to bury that one.
Not to the players.
Like, do you feel cheated out of a championship? Like, do you feel that way?
I did. But time heals wounds on anything. It's 2024. The Yankees are in the World Series. You guys brought it up. We brought this up. You and Loogie back and forth. Oh, finish the story. The Astros. Yeah. We don't care about the Astros anymore. So why is the general manager still bringing it up?
When I bring up the Astros, though, it wasn't about 2017.
It was about always losing.
It was about always losing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about the fact that 17, 19, 22, like, it's a continuing story arc. It wasn't necessarily about righting the wrong of the cheating, because quite frankly, the Astros proved they didn't need to cheat because they went out and won a World Series after the fact.
Right.
Also, the Yankees are on the verge of playing the organization the Astros beat in that World Series. Go beat that same organization.
And look, that's the other
story. And they're unrelated also. I mean, that's as unrelated as the Yankees getting cheated by the Astros is unrelated. They're so different teams.
But they are. But if you're going to bring it up on the week the World Series starts, to me, that only adds more pressure internally on going and finishing beating the Dodgers.
Well, and also, there's no guarantee you would have beaten the Dodgers in 2017. Like, there's no guarantee that happened.
It's a loser mentality for a gentleman to have a week like
this. It shows you it bothers him. It shows you that as much as when you're successful, it's easy for us to say, well, just put it out of your mind. Why do you care about that? That still bothers him.
Yeah.
That's something deep in his soul that he can't get over. And it's to me, it's like a psychological experiment, because it's fascinating how somebody so successful can still let something like that bother them to that degree. And clearly that bothers someone as successful as Brian Cashman. Let's go to Junior in Queens. How are you, Junior?
What up, Junior?
Hey, guys. Great show. Two things that I want to bring up. If you don't mind, Tiki, earlier, you and
Sean.
Sorry. you guys mentioned that the 2017 roster was Torres and Stan. They weren't there. Please, I hope you guys don't hit me for it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It was only judged so far on the team.
What we were talking about, though, Junior. Is like I couldn't even remember who was on that team that's still on this team.
Yeah.
And it's nobody.
Yeah,
nobody. So what's the point?
Aaron Judge and nobody else. It's crazy.
It still hurts that, you know, that the Astros won that year, and you know, after we found out that they cheated, they still keep winning. It still hurts. I kind of understand the human side of passion. He mentions it, but I give you guys your points that you guys pointed out. I give you that. Another thing, and then I'll hang up because I'm working right now. what do you guys think of? Yeah, I'm a mailman, so I don't want to, you know, ruin the momentum. But anyway, what do you guys think of this? Changing the lineup a little bit. Volpe hitting ninth and Torres and leading off. I like to see that. What do you guys think about that?
So you want a little double leadoff action.
Yeah.
So normally my response would be you don't want to stack the lefties too much, and that's what you'd be doing by having another righty at nine and Gleyber Torres at one. But here's the beauty of this series as you start to look ahead to the Dodgers. And as you may know, Tiki, I know the Dodgers very well.
Right.
I've studied them like the Bible over the last week and a half. They, as of right now, have only one left-hander in their bullpen, a guy by the name of Anthony Banda. Now, they do have a guy in Alex Vesia who is hurt, and there's a chance he's activated for the World Series. We'll keep an eye on that. But if the Dodgers are only going to have one lefty in their bullpen, then I would not care about lefty-righty splits at all.
Right.
It because my matter. Attitude would be, what are you going to do about
right.
it?
Right, and especially when you get to these bullpen games, it's who knows what you're getting. You know what I mean?
Right. Here's what I know. It's going to be all righties.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I know.
But it kind of comes down to then matchups. What's your record or what's your thought process against this particular righty? So just put yourself in the best position. Stop overthinking the lefty-righty thing.
Well, and that's what...
The same conversation we had about the Mets.
Yeah, well, and the same conversation we had about Boone with Stanton hitting cleanup, which he finally did in Game 5 of the series. And I heard Aaron Boone's explanation for it, and it was great, even if I disagreed with him for the first few days, which was, you know, I figured, let me put my best against their best.
Mm.
And that's what you got to do.
Yep.
Giancarlo Stanton right now is their best, so hit him cleanup. By the way, there was one other Yankee on the 2017 team. It's a little bit tricky one, who is on the team right now in 2024. And he's a key member of this 2024 team, too. You ready for this one?
Tell us.
He left.
Who?
But he came back. Tommy Kahnle. Good point. How about that?
Big deadline acquisition that you...
Big deadline acquisition. So Tommy Kahnle and Aaron Judge are the only guys left from 2017. The real question is, I got to think about this one. Because the Dodgers are bought. I mean, they're basically a bought franchise. And that's okay. You have an owner with a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with
that. That's right.
How many guys are still on the 2017 LA Dodgers that are on this current 2024 team?
I mean, I can't imagine there's a lot.
And I don't count Clayton Kershaw because he's inactive.
Yeah, he's not on the roster, but...
I'm thinking off the top of my head, the only guy I would think of is Chris Taylor because he's been there for a while. But I don't know if there's many others.
I'm not recognizing a lot here.
I'm going to say none.
Chris Taylor is one.
Right.
And there's one other, and it's very similar to what I just said about Tommy Kahnle. It's a little bit of a trick question because the guy left and then he came back. Kiki Hernandez, who's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yankee fans, you're going to hate him. You already hate him anyway. You're going to hate him even more.
Technically, there was another member of the Dodgers that's involved in this World
Series. Alex Verdugo.
Right.
It's the Alex Verdugo revenge series.
But how's it revenge? Because he was on the winning side, right?
Hold on a second. I'm very distracted by someone who's on hold because I had a very busy morning, as you know.
Oh, that's right. He lost to the edge.
Yeah, I got an email this morning from the New York Jets, but I didn't open it. Because, you know, I had a lot going on. A lot going on this morning. Craig Carton, my middle partner, we have Beningo, we have Craig, we have Tiki, was inducted into the New York Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So the last thing I had time for, Tiki, was to check my email from the New York Jets. So I don't know what's in that email, but Charles in Long Island, Charles, did you get an email from the New York Jets this morning, or was it just me?
No, I did not get an email, Evan, but I got a text on my New York Jets text chain mentioning that our New York Jets have decided to once again raise ticket prices. And I'm glad that you took my call this time. Yes, because I don't know how you are going to feel about this, and I can't wait for Joe to chime in on this and anybody else. But I don't know how Woody Johnson has the you-know-what or the you-know-what to do what he's doing. And I don't know how the NFL or whoever lets him keep doing what he's doing. But we have to figure out how to get him out of here because he is ruining this franchise from top to bottom. And it's absolutely disgusting, deplorable, and despicable that he is allowed to do what he keeps doing, because I will never step foot in MetLife ever again. And any person who spends any dime of their money on this franchise and puts it into his pocket is crazy. And so, I would like to know what you think about it.
Okay, so there's a couple of things. A lot of what you said I'm good with, that last part we got to stop short on. Because I have supported a lot of crappy owners in this town, because at the end of the day, you want to take your kids to see a baseball game or a football game. So the one thing I'll never do on this show or never do on this station is say, you can't give this franchise money. It is up to the individual to decide what they want to do.
Right.
If you want to say, I'm done with them, I'm not going to resubscribe as a season ticket holder, God bless you. But all I know is I got an email from 11 a.m. Dear Evan, thank you for being a passionate and dedicated Jet season ticket holder.
For seven games on a season so far.
For one season. We appreciate your continued support. Your 25-26 What the hell is going on? The 25-26 season ticket invoice is now available in your Jets account manager.
And?
You can pay in full by November 15th, or there's a six-month monthly plan with the first installment due on November 15th. I got a problem with that. Why the hell are we paying for tickets in November
this
for next
year,
season?
For a team that probably, who knows what's going to happen? I'm not even going to predict it yet, but it's not going well to start the season.
Now, I got to click on the link to see if my ticket prices are raised.
I'm waiting for you to do this.
But I'm going to assume that they have been. And here's the thing for me and everybody else. And I have said this about I've said this about the Giants, the Mets, when they made their announcement, everybody. When your team sucks, and as of right now, the Jets suck, okay? They suck right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can that change? Of course they can. Right now, they suck, okay? S-U-C-K, they suck. We understand? Good, we're good. You cannot raise ticket prices on your fan base. That's a rule.
If you're losing, you can. If you lose a game here or there. But the timing better be right.
Let me give you an example.
You can't raise ticket prices after you fire your head coach and you lose two games in a row.
Correct. By the way, the New York Giants have not fired their head coach, nor should they at this point. They can't send out an email raising their ticket prices either. Would we agree with that? They can't do it either.
Yes, I would agree. Unless unless they're going to explain why they're raising their ticket prices because whatever happened.
Yeah, what excuse
some massive. I'm trying to think of some massive overhead that just unexpectedly came up, and all of a sudden they need to offset their costs. That's the only thing that maybe you would give them a pass for.
Right.
But that's not the case.
That's right.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the case for the Jets because of the money that they had to put in escrow. Don't want to sign his deal or at least trade for him. But I don't think, like, what else that could possibly have happened other than we just want to make more money?
Yeah, but you can't do it when your team is bad.
But like, when else are you doing it?
When your team is good, that's when you do it. Like, James Dolan has this great rule with the Knicks and the Rangers where they will not raise ticket prices if, hold on a second, I'm going to give you the answer if they raise my ticket prices. They raised it by $104 over the full season.
Nah,
it's not a huge hike, but you know what? It's the principle.
It's the principle, but it's not enough to scream about.
I don't know.
Nah.
I'm not.
Nah. It's not enough to screw. It's the principal, but it's not enough to screw.
It's the principal. But that's, but guess what? I'm one of many.
Yeah.
And so I may have only gotten a small raise.
Yeah. Like you got like a $12 raise.
It's not a big raise.
Yes.
But I bet you there's other people that got big raises.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lugauer has made it. Tommy, how you feeling?
No, I was feeling good about 2 seconds ago when I heard you flat out lied on the air about a conversation we had.
I didn't
at
even
the Rainbow
recognize
Room.
That guy that was sitting in there with the jacket.
Yeah, because he dressed up. He got the
nice.
Memo I didn't get.
Right.
Evan waiting for the school bus. He just needs his lunchbox. We're sitting there at the Rainbow Room, and Evan turns to me and says, "Hey, Lugie, you think we could leave early?" I go, "No, we can't." So I was told that on the air just a little while ago that Evan said I asked that.
Oh, yes, you so, did. You got that completely backwards. And I agree with you. I said we should try to
leave. Oh, I got
it early.
Backwards. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
That's 100% right.
No, it's fine.
And by the way, I was with you. I wanted to leave early, but I also wasn't sure if we could.
Yeah.
And so we both glanced over.
You can always leave
so
early.
So you would have left early?
100%.
So you think we screwed up by not leaving early?
100%.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. These other guys were making speeches.
Okay, do you know them?
Not at all.
Exactly.
But they had great stories.
Okay.
Like that country guy made me cry. Did that country guy make you cry, Luke?
It was very powerful speech.
Yeah.
Yes, very powerful. Good message about getting into the business and life itself. It was great.
Dude, it was amazing.
Craig gave a great emotional speech.
Craig's speech was unbelievable.
Yeah, but you had to be there for Craig.
Craig was
I'm talking
second.
About the other guys.
Craig was second of six people.
Well, we took a big picture afterwards with everybody.
You can superimpose Evan.
Yeah, I'm out for that one.
Don't believe any picture that you see, ever.
I saved 20 minutes by leaving, and I sprinted to the train because I wanted to get back. And then I was at that dilemma of, because I kept waiting for you. I was like, Lugie, come on, come on. And Al Dukes was the one who's like, he only needs to be back for the Lugauer. Get out of here. And I was like, all right, fine. It was a fun time, though. Did you have a good time?
No, it was a great time. It really was.
Look, here's the reality before I get a little sentimental. And I know Tommy's going to want to join in on this. Craig Carton deserved everything he got today because of not just a brilliant radio career, which we all know. Because that's without saying. I don't need to go off about that. We all know what he's accomplished here with Boomer and then coming back. But it's the comeback. It's the fact that he had issues. He made the mistakes that he has talked about openly on the radio. And then to come back, and we had the honor of working with him and saw how difficult it was for him to fight his way back to get to this stage to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. We're small parts of it. I'd be the first to admit it. Me and Tommy are ants on the accomplishments of Craig.
Mm-hmm.
But it was awesome to see, and I'm very happy for him and very proud for him.
Yeah. Congratulations,
it was very cool
to
see. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm one of the few people that are part of the Boomer and Carton family, also the Carton and
you
Roberts
family. You
worked
for Boomer and Carton?
Yeah, I worked for them for 3 years.
Did he?
Yes.
I was national at that point, so I have no idea.
National? You were down the hall, Teague.
Yeah, but I was on the national network. How often does the national network engage with WFAN?
I felt like I said hi to you all the time in a hallway.
Okay, you might have said hi. Did I know who you were?
But by the way, don't worry. I don't think Craig knew that he worked on Boomer.
No, he has no idea. He thought I was like an intern. He's like, why hasn't this internship ended yet?
Exactly.
But congrats to Craig. Well deserved.
Who's
sure.
this kid that looks like he's 12 that's waving hi to me?
No, you know how I know that Lugie was a part of Boomer and Carton?
How?
I think Craig, or no, Lugie, dropped somebody's urine.
Mine.
Live on the radio.
So they drug tested me, Teague. Long story short, I used to go to a lot of music festivals in which a lot of people were taking Molly
and this,
at the time.
This was, Molly. So this, I was going to say, this was before MJ was legal.
Yeah, so like ecstasy in the 90s. But Molly was big when I was going to the festival, so they would call me Molly on the show. So one day they decided to drug test me. So I went to the bathroom, I did my business. Al brought the business in a cup. It spilled all over Craig, and that's what I'm most remembered for.
Nice.
Hold on, I have to cough.
way to get your business all over Craig.
Yes.
He'll never forget it.
That's the one thing he'll definitely remember. But congratulations, Craig. It was very, very cool. Let's go to Freddie in Springfield. What's up, Freddie?
How you doing? Great listening, guys.
Appreciate it. What's up?
I got to tell you, just give you an example, and you can go from there. So I'm at my brother-in-law's house a couple weeks ago, and the Yankees were on, and they're Mets fans. The whole family are Mets fans.
Right.
I stuck out there. I put on the Yankee game. Yankees lost, and the Mets won. So my nephew, who's a diehard Mets fan, he turns around and he says to me, "You watch the Mets?" I said, "Yeah, I watch the Mets. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but they're in New York. Who am I going to root for? St. Louis or Arizona? It's ridiculous. You're both for the teams in your neighborhood.
Right.
Why you got to hate the Mets as a Yankee fan or vice versa? I don't get it. Why do you hate the Jets because you're a Giant fan? To me, it makes zero sense. I couldn't be more of a diehard fan for the Yankees, the Knicks, and the Giants. But you're not going to tell me that I'm not as big as a fan as somebody else that hates those other teams.
No, but I don't think it disqualifies you as a fan. Look, I think I can give you a good example of this, Tiki. I'm a very mixed bag in that there are teams in this town I hate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm open and honest. When we talk about the Knicks a little bit later on, I'm going to let you play me like a jukebox. You could say, okay, Evan, I'd like you to be an IBO. And I'm going to give you, I think, a very balanced IBO take on last night.
Yep.
And then you could press a button and say, all right, Evan, coalition of Knick hater time. And I will just be the biggest jackass you'll see.
Right.
I don't like the New York Knicks.
That was Luga yesterday when you weren't here, screaming at you in absentia because you're of the coalition of Knick haters.
Let's go Knicks.
That's fair.
And that's absolutely fair.
How about that game last night, Luga?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, how'd that go? As Mikal Bridges is shot in the first half looking.
Look great in the second half.
Yeah, down by 30. That's when Mikal Bridges steps up, team.
So down by 30, that makes a difference? The guy couldn't hit a shot in the preseason.
Anyhow, we'll get to that later. But point is,
whatever you want.
I don't like the New York Knicks, right? I don't dislike the New York Giants. Mm. So I think for all of us, when you like a team in this town, sometimes it's based on the people that surround you.
Right.
Sometimes it's the coworkers. Sometimes it's...
Well, sometimes it's the team. It's the team you're talking about.
What do you mean?
Like if the Knicks are full of, I don't know, just jerks, it makes it easier not to like them.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't matter. Because they're filled with some great guys right now.
I know, of course they are. That's why I don't get it.
Because it's the jerseys that you dislike. Oh,
stop.
Look, I think they're going to be Met fans this week who are going to be rooting passionately for a team that they hated 5 days ago in the L.A. Dodgers.
No.
Tommy, who are you rooting for in the World Series?
Root for New York.
Who are you rooting for in the World Series, Tommy?
I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Right. Oh, without hesitation, by the way.
You are a bad person.
However, there is a slight silver lining. I do believe if the Yankees win the World Series, a certain gentleman that plays right field might not be re-signing with them.
So well, that not listening you, to David Stearns.
It would not make me root for the Yankees, but it would make that parade go down a little smoother.
But think about that. And I'm glad you were honest with that answer. Think about that.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who is glued to the NLCS as much as all of us. Hates the Dodgers during that series. Now, how can you not? Otani, everything about that team.
Yeah, of course.
And quickly was able to pivot because of long scars that he's kind of suffered as a kid growing up on Long Island, working diligently on the Boomer and Carton show.
Yes.
And then with Carton Roberts. And like those scars lead to him saying, no, screw it. I'm going to root for the Dodgers. Not even a question.
Right. By the way, you're not getting Soto. Did you not hear Stearns? We'll get to that.
By the way, we did not because we were at Craig's Hall of Fame.
I heard Craig's Hall of Fame speech. Right. Did he mention Juan Soto?
I don't know. He did not. He didn't know who Juan Soto is at this point. He's on Fox. They don't talk baseball. We'll all hear from David Stearns in a little bit, and we'll examine it. I'll give you a fair and honest take on it. But I think everybody's different. Like, Sean is a hater. So, like, if it's not his team in New York, he hates the other team.
I don't know if he's that way.
Yeah, no, universally.
He might be, like, sarcastically... like trolling, but I don't think he hates your team.
I agree, and I also hate with the notion of who do you root for? You don't have to root for anybody. You just, who do you prefer wins? I would never actively root against the Mets in a World Series like I did with the Royals.
See, I don't believe you.
No. I could laugh when things go wrong, but I'm not sitting there going, come on, Kansas City, come on.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah.
Rooting for the other team just because you hate the team and the other team in town.
Yeah, you can bellyache if the outcome's negative, but you're not actively rooting against
it. I will defend our last caller. Like, just because you don't have that hatred that I have with certain other teams in this town, or Tommy just expressed with the Yankees, or what Sean is lying about, doesn't mean you're less of a fan. By the way, I apologize. I'm so drugged up right now. Legally, of course, I'm taking medicine. That I feel like I have to burp every 30 seconds. And I don't want to do that, okay? I don't. I'm a big fan of Howard Stern, but I'm not Howard Stern. So I'm going to try to block those burps every chance I can.
You sound like the kid in Willy Wonka going up in the bubble machine.
So I sat in the middle of Evan and Boomer at the Rainbow Room at Craig's little Hall of Fame thing here. Evan, when he mentioned he had bronchitis to Boomer, Boomer looked at Evan like he had like 17 heads, like it was like basically going to kill him on the spot. And Evan, I'm proud of you though for at least admitting that.
Well, I mean, it's bronchitis. It's not pneumonia.
Well, that's why I'm back.
Right. It's not the flu.
By the way, who did a worse job today? And I think I'm going to be the winner as the biggest loser, and I accept that. Me for being dressed like a 10-year-old, or Boomer for showing up massively late to when they introduced him, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there for it.
Which is worse, the late shower or the bad dresser?
What time did this start?
I would say it started about 12.
Oh, so he had no reason to be late.
No, there's no reason.
Ah, so why was he late?
I didn't ask him.
I mean, golf.
So which one's worse?
It'd probably being late.
Really?
Yes.
I got to put a Twitter poll out there. Because who did a worse job?
Well, we live in a society now where you can wear whatever you want. Doesn't even matter.
Really? Yeah. I'm surprised Tiki's defending me on this.
So the way Cashman dressed when they won the AL.
It doesn't matter.
At the who did a worse job today?
But did he know he was supposed to be there and get announced? Now, if he didn't know he was getting announced, then you're worse.
You see what Evan's doing, though, here. He knows the morning show is on tomorrow morning, and they're going to crush him for how he looked and being sick. So he's trying to be proactive by getting to the microphone first to say, look what Boomer did.
Yeah. No, I'm just literally reacting to where I was at. These two overthink everything. I think it's me, by the way. Like, I think I was actually worse because I think I got duped. I got duped by the architect. Because I asked him 3 months ago, I said, what kind of dress do
you
have?
You did get duped, but... I mean, it's a Hall of Fame. I don't care if it's the...
So I should have ignored him and said, suit and tie this bad boy.
Think of the name of the event. It's a Hall of Fame. Right?
The worst part...
I have a shirt and a tie and a vest on because I'm going to the premiere of The Duke, which is Wellington, the documentary on Wellington.
Oh, my God. Look at the way you're dressed.
It's just a movie. And so I'm dressed up for it.
So how are you not saying I did a worse job than Boomer?
Because
Are you just being loyal to me? No.
If you know you're going to get introduced someplace, like, and you're supposed to be there. That's why I asked. Was he supposed to be there? And he just is not there?
Right.
That's bad.
Wow.
Because they're expecting you to be there, and you're not. So
interesting.
But Evan was told to dress casually.
That's casual for him.
No, Thank you.
And I get it was a lunch, but not for a six-year-old. It was a Hall of Fame event at Rockefeller Center at the Rainbow Room. I mean, casual means no tie.
Okay, but it's not a t-shirt.
I know. Yeah. It's a nice shirt. And I'm wearing nice khakis, too, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's casual. It's 80 degrees today.
This was my casual. The worst part was, so when I get here, I see Big Mac. And Big Mac is in a suit and tie. And the first thing I did to Big Mac was make fun of him. I was like, you're a clown. You're so overdressed.
Oh, that was like Sean when he came in for the...
when we announced the show.
When he announced the show.
Right. And he's in a suit and tie and everybody else is casual.
And Giants Fan Fest I did too.
That's right. You were.
Honestly,
that was fine. That was fine.
It was all right.
You were going to meet Mr. Mara.
The most embarrassing part is probably telling and mocking Big Mac, even though that was only me and him. Uh-huh. Like mocking to his face. How he dressed up too much to only then walk into the Rainbow Room and everybody's wearing a freaking suit and tie, except for Al Dukes and Craig. Craig was casual, but he's also the guest of honor.
Right.
And that's him.
And he could do whatever he wants.
That's right. When you're inducted, you could do whatever the hell you want.
Did he wear what he wore on the show this morning?
Probably very similar. It was like jeans and a button down. See, I had nice pants. The problem is I went with the shirt. Yeah. The polo shirt.
And I normally like bright colors, but the baby blue, you should have went more of like a darker color.
What's wrong with baby blue?
Just think about the event we're at. We're at a classy event, and that shirt's more for like a picnic.
Evan, what color is my shirt?
Your shirt is baby blue.
What color are my pants?
The same as mine.
Thank you. Thank you. Criticize me over there, huh, Luke?
No, he's not going to.
Yeah.
He's
no.
You're late. You come in.
I had an excused absence.
Evan.
Jeez, Tom Coughlin, I had an excused absence.
Just remember where Luke's loyalty is. It's not at me or you. That's for damn sure.
I see.
We'll get to more of your calls. Plus, David Stern did have something to say, and Tiki Barber has some conclusions that he's drawn from it. We'll get to it coming up. Evan and Tiki on the Fan, lots to get to. Coming up at 4 o'clock. Tiki's heard what David Stearns had to say. You all will get to hear what David Stearns had to say regarding why Tiki is convinced Juan Soto will not be a New York Met. We'll get to that at 4 o'clock. A lot more Yankee stuff as well, including the decision around Gerrit Cole and why it hasn't been asked why he would pitch in 1-4-7. But let us address the Knicks. And I want to be a jukebox real quick before we get back to your calls. Do you want IBO or do you want... president of the coalition?
Give me IBO first.
You want IBO?
Yes.
We got to calm down. It was one game.
I agree with you.
And
that's why I wanted IBO, because I agree with you.
The Boston Celtics, and this is the thing I want people to understand, and Yankee fans take solace in this. The Boston, and I don't like the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Celtics are the most disrespected NBA champion in the history of sports. Yes, they had an easy road. Okay? That fact. They had an easy-ass road. That's not their fault.
No.
It's not their fault that they played the teams they played. And what did they do to the teams they played.
Destroyed them.
They destroyed them with one of the most proficient offenses in the history of basketball. So I get it. We all like to be trolls, right? We make fun of trolls, but we all like to be trolls. They're really good.
Yep.
And last night, they were fired up. They were fired up because they feel disrespected.
And they just had the banner risen to the rafters.
Sometimes that backfires on teams, though.
True, but not this team.
Not this team.
It is the exact, basically, same team. Except for Porzingis.
Well, but Porzingis healthy or not healthy. Right. I mean, that part's the same. Look, they have been disrespected on a lot of levels. Jaylen Brown was disrespected not being on the Olympic team.
Yep.
Jason Tatum was disrespected not playing considerable minutes on the Olympic team. And honestly, we've all disrespected them by saying that they're like not legitimate NBA champions because they played an easy road.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been screaming about that with the Yankees. Like, it doesn't matter.
No.
You got to beat the teams that are in front of you. And I think what last night served as for a reminder for not just Knicks fans, but NBA fans is, hey guys, they're good. Can they be beaten? Yes, in my opinion, they can be. But they're really good. That's number one. Number two, the Knicks are a new team. And I commend them for that. They got really aggressive in this offseason.
Yeah.
They were not the Giants from a few years ago. Arguably what the Mets may do this offseason. They said, hey, yeah, we were really good, but we need to get better. And Kat's new. And Mikel is new.
Yeah.
And their bench is new. They're a different basketball team.
This team playing together has been together for less than 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
I mean, essentially, yes. Basically
2 weeks. Playing against the defending world champions who are the exact same team. Top 11 scorers are back. All the stars are back. The only one is Kristaps, and he's hurt. But who cares? He's always hurt. Right? And they on a mission to break records last night. And you saw it with their three-point attempts.
They failed at breaking the record.
But they tried their damnedest.
Yes, they did.
I mean, how many did they take in the fourth quarter with the scrubs?
13 in a row?
I mean, that's what they missed.
That was a minor victory for the Knicks.
How many did they take?
Yeah.
And they missed 13 in a row. But, right. I mean, they took a million of them. I think it was 60. Mm. 60 three-pointers in a game. I mean, the Knicks took a lot of them. Not nearly close to 60. So this was an exceptional performance by the Boston Celtics.
It was also a bad performance by the Knicks. Like, the one thing I won't live with.
Defensively, yes.
Yeah, I can't hear well. The Celtics just shot the ball incredibly well. They did, but if you go back and you rewatch this game,
yep.
The New York Knicks gave them a lot of open looks. There was a lot of confusion on defense. I thought Mikal Bridges was awful on defense.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of badness from this performance, but it's one freaking game. And it's also a really new team. So I understand the hype of opening night. I feel the same way, especially when my teams have had expectations. But I do think we need to take a little bit of a pipe down off of one loss to an exceptional basketball team.
Right.
I also think that the roles that Mikal Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns are taking, we have to accept how unique it is. Mikal Bridges went from being a role player in Phoenix on a championship contender to being like the Brooklyn Nets Mr. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's like, hey, can you go back to being that Phoenix guy? And that's going to take time. And by the way, Knicks fans, there's going to be more of this. Like, they're going to struggle, and that's okay. As long as it eventually fits, it eventually works, guys stay healthy, and you can fulfill the potential of this roster.
This feels like it always happens with Tom Thibodeau's teams. They struggle early.
Right.
And then eventually, something clicks. They turn a corner, and then they play unbelievably.
Can I now be the
but now
the
be the troll?
Okay. It was nothing that made my night feel better than watching Mikal Bridges struggle last night. Like, it was like a drug. It was like a drug from Argentina.
He's an athlete I don't understand.
Wait, what don't you understand?
Why he changes his shot. Why he's tinkering.
Because he's a stiff.
But why are you tinkering?
I'm just kidding.
Seriously, why are you tinkering?
Especially when you're 37% from three last
exactly.
year, and you were pretty good hitting the corner three.
Yeah, I want to be 39 and a half.
Look, Mikal Bridges' biggest issue last year was not shooting the corner three. That's for damn sure.
No.
He didn't defend nearly as well as I know he can.
But he made his shot look all jacked.
Yeah. It's but like, he went back in the second half.
Of course he did, because he had a catch and shoot, and he just shot it instead of thinking about it.
Honestly, jokes aside, see, this is where I'm going back to the IBO, because I can't troll that much, because the Knicks are going to be good, and like I can't sit here all day and be like, ha, right. They're 0-1, ha, ha. I think the best thing that happened to Mikal Bridges last night is that he did hit a couple of shots in the second half.
Yes.
Because I think if he continued to struggle, it'd be easier for me and for others, because look, here's the reality. The Knicks gave up a lot for him.
And I think with that comes great expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tommy's not the right guy to ask because he's a more positive fan. But there are Knicks fans that are looking to boo people when they don't perform.
Right.
The Sean Morashes of Knicks fans, right? Hey, Carlos Rodon, kiss my fetish, right?
Yeah.
The Sean Morash of Knicks fans may be looking to boo Mikal Bridges because of what they gave up for him.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's got to take a lot of negativity for the Knicks fan you're talking about.
Yeah.
To boo Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
See how many first round picks they gave up for
him? Yes.
Yeah, but what were you doing with those first round
picks? That's not the point. You're being rational.
All eight of them. Like
was it rational for
6 years from now?
Like, what are we talking about? Was it rational for Sean to boo Carlos Rodon 5 starts into his career? With the Yankees? Was it rational for him to boo Giancarlo Stanton?
Only because Stanton had so much expectation.
Well, they gave up 18 first round picks for him. I mean,
and he tinkered with something that didn't need to be tinkered with.
Tommy, but before you, because I know you're not the right guy for this, and I respect that, because you're like me, by the way. I don't boo my own guys either, so I wouldn't be the right guy.
I just don't think that Knicks fans are going to get to the point this season where they're booing him.
Oh, I disagree with
you. This season?
Have you ever booed any of your own players?
Yes.
Really?
On the Knicks, are you saying, or just in general?
Just in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Max Scherzer.
Okay.
Game one against the Padres.
Now, Knicks, have you ever booed a Knick?
No.
Really?
No.
Why is that?
There were years where they were so bad that they weren't even like worth my boos, to be honest with you.
So Eddie Curry wasn't worth your boos?
Jerome James wasn't worth my breath. So they never got a boo. They got almost more of like a, oh, God, like a, this sucks.
I know the answer to this, but I do want to be fair and give you this. If Kat or Mikal really struggled, could you see yourself booing either of those two guys this season?
No, I couldn't. But I agree with you because I think Kat and Mikal in a lot of ways represent, because they are, basically Dante and Julius. And a lot of people are upset that both of those guys are gone.
Yeah.
So they represent the new team. Like I saw on Twitter yesterday, I don't even recognize this team. Yeah, because it's a different team now. People love that team.
I think Kat has a better chance of getting booed than Mikal.
I agree with that.
Really?
Yeah, because I think Net fans want to boo.
There's a perception, a prejudice about Kat. Because of some of the things that people have said about him.
But isn't
doesn't play hard, doesn't play defense, like those type of things. That pre-existing narrative about him is out there. I don't think that it's out there like that.
But no, you're right. I agree with you, but Mikal Bridges was referred to as, by CP the franchise and by you, Tommy, as the final affinity stone, whatever that term is.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that make it more likely to boo someone that you had higher hopes for?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't. And a little inside baseball here, and I'll admit it to you. I think there's a lot of Knicks fans that are very proud and very don't want to give the Net fan that satisfaction. Because I think there's...
Nah, we don't exist, bro.
No, I don't
want to say you were right.
Exactly. And by booing him and by getting on him or calling him Markel Fultz, which I heard last night and saw on Twitter, by doing that, you're almost giving wings to the other team.
I want to attach a name to someone who called him Markel Fultz. Can I put a name to it?
Yeah, of course.
A diehard Knicks fan today... to both Tommy and I, said Mikal Bridges is Markel Fultz. And I respect this man's Knicks fandom.
By the way, what happened
and
to Markel
Fultz?
And
that man, he's still around. He's playing with Orlando.
Is he?
That man is Craig Carton himself.
He did say that.
He's a Hall of Famer.
We're going up.
Super troll, so it's all good.
He's a Knicks fan.
I know, but he's a super troll. You know that.
I think he
he did that to get a rise.
You think so?
100%.
He did it to make me smile.
We're going up the escalator and he just turns around and says that. And I'm just like, geez. So I started talking to Sonny, his son, about the Knicks.
Yeah. I think that both guys come here with high expectations. And I don't want to be the one to preach patience, but I'm going to be. You've got to be patient. And I totally agree. Me and Tommy are on the same page here. That's because IBO Evan can be IBO Evan. Positive Tommy and IBO have this weird common ground moment. I think that it's tough because you love that team, but you have to give a new team time to gel and figure it out.
Let me see if I could turn you, though, back into the leader of the coalition. I thought the Knicks played great last night.
They didn't play great last night.
They would have beat...
If it wasn't for Deuce McBride saving their asses in the first half, they would have been down by 50.
Yeah.
If they play any other team on any other night in the NBA, they would have won that game. You're talking about a team that
Tiki pointed out, that haven't played together basically for a couple weeks here. Right. And I thought offensively,
their numbers
they
were respectable.
Yeah.
Their numbers were respectable. Defensively, it was a problem.
But the Celtics did not miss, though. They historically shot.
They were a problem. You have supposedly two great defensive wings. And OG and Markel, and you didn't see it. I'm looking at his stats.
Is Bridges dead to you? Just say.
Mikal, I'm looking at Markel Fultz's stats right now.
Oh, my God. Markel Bridges.
Right. The point is, you're supposed to have these two wings that are affecting opposing.
They didn't play well last night.
They didn't
night.
Do.
Look, Tommy, they didn't defend last night. Like,
it was nobody on these on the corner.
I got a project for you, okay? The Knicks don't play till Friday. Actually, going up against game one of the World Series, that's their home opener.
Home opener, Indiana.
Against the Indiana Pacers. Yep. And then they play on Monday against Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken.
Cleveland and I think Philly.
Yeah.
For the first four games are big time.
And don't worry about Joel Embiid will be out. Like, he's taking vacation already.
He's taking a sabbatical.
Sixers are now being investigated by the NBA.
They should be.
Lazy
are
bum.
They really?
Yeah, that just broke.
But if you face any other team, if they hit their open threes, they're going to score on you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as if Boston shot 65% from three by hitting tons of circus shots.
No, they got second chance opportunities and they had
left
open
wide
shots.
Open, and by the time they figured it out, it was too late.
Yeah.
They were just on fire. It was too late.
Knicks didn't play well last night.
I disagree. I think they did play well last night. Like, the Celtics played better. They played out of this world. They tied the record for three-pointers.
Do you think Mikal Bridges played well last night?
Even if I thought offensively he did.
Do you think Karl-Anthony Towns played well last night?
I did. I thought Karl played well. Deuce, I think, was amazing.
Deuce kept him in the game.
Yes.
I give you Deuce. Of course, Deuce was amazing. If Deuce doesn't do what he did in the first half, they're down by 45.
Boston hit their shots last night at an insane clip. That's not going to happen every single night, but that is what the Celtics do.
It's hard to say they played poorly when they hit 55% of their shots from the field, 37 from three-point range, and 75 or so percent from the
line. At one point, they were 60% from the floor, and they were down like 20 points. They got steamrolled by an insanely well-oiled machine championship. And it's not excuse-making. I watched that game and said, the Knicks played a great game on any other night against any other team. They win the game. And can I point one other?
Defense counts, bro. You can sit here and give all the offensive numbers you want. Like, you got to defend.
Yeah, but the Knicks could have left the court. And the Celtics may not have shot that great from three-point land. Come on, Evan.
I'm tipping
my cap to the other team that was just like crazy great.
But, two things can be true.
The difference, the little things made huge differences, like the turnovers. So we talk about Brunson. He had four turnovers, or two assists, right? Two assists, four turnovers. On the night, 12 turnovers to four. So, and what does that lead to? A lot of extra shots and a lot of second-chance shots. For the Celtics. The Celtics outshot them 95 to 60-something, right? No, 78. 95 to 78. That's a big deal, man.
Well, and also it's the math game, and sometimes basketball's all about math.
Yes.
Even when you're shooting 52% from the field or 54% from the field like the Knicks are, if the Celtics are taking all their shots from three and they're landing it at that clip, you can't keep up math-wise when you're taking half the amount of threes as Boston's taking.
They shot almost 50% from three-point range.
Right.
From three-point range.
Right, no, I get that.
And they shot 61 of them.
Right, they shot a ton. And that's before they started piling it on in the fourth quarter, where they were desperate to break that record. Like, the math game was against the Knicks in the first half because the Celtics were taking a million threes.
To me, that was just the Boston Celtics, the champions. Although I still think the Knicks are the uncrowned champions.
They're just great.
Right.
They were great. They played great.
But what I saw for the Knicks that I thought was very encouraging, Bridges had to see the ball go through the net.
I
saw that in the second half. That was huge. There were a couple things, and Shaq and Charles, who liked to pick on Cat, but they were right, where Jrue Holiday was on Karl-Anthony Towns underneath the basket, and Cat's got to demand the ball there and dunk it in his face.
Right.
He's got to be a little more aggressive.
But see, this is why we were just talking about who they're booing first, it's going to be Cat. Because if you get a guard who is 7 inches shorter...
That's all guarding you? Like, he shouldn't have been on him.
Maybe 9 inches shorter.
But remember, that's what makes...
80 pounds lighter.
But, Teague, that's what makes the Celtics special. They've got five guys they will switch on with anybody.
True.
They'll switch Jrue Holiday on a five.
But
they'll switch Al Horford on a one.
But that's fine. But if you're a dog, meaning and that's what Cat is supposed to turn into, Loogie...
A cat into a dog.
Yep, yep. You just got to demand it, give it to me, and I'm dunking on you.
Yeah.
You have to.
I'm going to punish you for putting a smaller guy on
me. The other thing that I think you guys may be right about, I'm going to concede this to you about the Cat versus Mikal, who they would turn on first. The Knicks gave up ideas for Mikal Bridges. They gave up lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up a kid in middle school for Mikal Bridges.
Right.
That's not real yet. For Karl Anthony Towns, they gave up Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. And no matter what you think about either guy, they're real humans who helped the Knicks win over the last couple of years. And I think for now,
I think
that's much more substantial than the theory of a middle schooler who will be playing in Brooklyn in the nine years.
It is, but in some ways, Deuce can help mitigate the Dante loss.
Definitely.
Some ways. Maybe not defensively, because he doesn't hustle like that. At least he hasn't shown it yet, like Dante did. But the scoring, I think Deuce is giving you something in spades.
Very quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to what David Stearns had to say about Juan Soto.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.